CliffCentral.com.
All right. CliffCentral.com on a, what is it, Tuesday morning. It's the 26th of April. Tomorrow is 27 April. So that means today's like a mini Friday. Tomorrow's a holiday. I kind of forgot about that, to be honest. I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, Tuesday, you know. I suddenly realized.
Was it yesterday when you were hopping on about, like, what a waste mid-holidays are, like, so, mid-week holidays?
Are you kidding? It's so annoying, dude.
It is, because I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know is I'm not going to wake up early. That's the one thing I know. I'm not going to wake up early. That's the only thing that's changed in my day. Before I know it, it's going to be 4. And then you're just back in your routine. And then, I don't know, just throws you off.
This is such an annoying, stupid thing when they put a public holiday in the middle of the week. But we'll take it. You know, obviously for some people, some people just need a break. I mean, Lebang, she's ready for a break. She's like got 10 weeks to go of this pregnancy. She'll take any break she can get. But the public holiday tomorrow...
Sorry, what?
No, we're just talking about this public holiday tomorrow and how stupid it is because it falls in the middle of the week, so you don't know what to do with it. By the way...
I don't know if it's stupid.
Well, no, it's not stupid. Like, it's just...
It's a perfect opportunity to take Thursday and Friday off. I mean, there you have another long weekend.
No, that is
you
true.
Have to be smart.
There are a lot of smart people who've done this, right?
But it is our best holiday. It's Freedom Day. What happened on Freedom Day? I never know the public holidays. I never know what
Freedom Day. Freedom Day was the day we all went to vote in 1994. That was the first day.
All of us.
The first day that we had a universal franchise in South Africa, where every single person in the country. It sounds ridiculous if you think about it now, but what is it? 28 years ago today, that South Africans first went to the polls in their droves, and we had all those emotional scenes of people voting for the first time, like old gogos who'd been alive since the 1920s and 30s, who'd never been able to vote before, going to the polls and electing people that they could actually have a say about, you know? So it's a big deal, and I get that, and I'm a fan of history, I'm a student of history, I care about these things. But I do wish we could have our public holidays closer to the weekend and not waste our... Because nobody's going to work Thursday and Friday. As Lebang says, if you're clever, you take your time off those 2 days and you basically get like 5 days for the price of 2. But it does mean that those people who are unfortunate enough to be stuck at work for Thursday and Friday are going to sit there with their hands folded, their arms folded, and they're not going to know what to do with themselves.
And Monday is also a public holiday, so
so that's also crazy. All right, so apparently the planets aligned on Saturday. This is some big deal. So do you want to tell us what happened?
That's what I was asking. Is it a big deal, Gareth? Well, because no one talked about it. So did it affect me? I was trying to think what I was doing Saturday.
So first things first. Saturn, why didn't all those people who constantly tell us about the moon is in retrograde and Mercury
retrograde? That's why you're angry today.
Yeah. You know those people who tell us all that shit. So why didn't those people? Why did I have to hear from Bakabantu this morning that the planets aligned? Surely those people who are obviously hugely credible, surely all of them should have been the ones telling me, oh, you got to watch out because on the 23rd of April, you're going to have this planetary alignment and it's going to mean that this is going to happen and that's going to happen and all of your chakras are going to fall into alignment as well. You know, the world's going to change. So explain to me why nothing significant happened to me three days ago.
I don't know. It got me thinking about horoscopes and all these constellation things. And then I discovered there's something called a moon star also. So you have your star sign, which is your sun star. And then it's where the moon was when you were born. Also, it also affects you somehow. I'm like, but this astrology thing is, it's mind-boggling how people believe it. It is. I don't want to harp on it. I don't want to hate on the people who believe that if I was born and the star was in the northern, northern star is always in the northern star. But anyway, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Maybe it's like a
what's your star
thing.
Sign?
I'm a Gemini, but my belief is that when the stars are aligned and the water, it's like a very subtle change that happens. It's not always this loud, bang. Like,
here's what happened.
Now shit's about to get real.
We've had these people on the show before, and listen. And you know, I've adapted my take on this to be less cynical, because if you don't open yourself up to information, it might be bullshit information, but you don't know until you've heard it. So I've softened my approach. But here's what happens: is you sit in front of one of these people, and it even happens to people on first dates, and it happens to people when they go to family lunches and all this kind of thing. You sit opposite one of these astrology people, right? And they go, "So, when is your birthday?" And you're like, 26th of August. They go, "Oh, you're a Virgo. So that, I mean, you obviously...
Oh, you're a classic Virgo.
Yeah, you're such a classic Virgo. I could have guessed that." But if you actually asked them to guess it, so then it goes the other way around. You say, "Well, I don't know. You tell me what you think I am based on what you know about me." They're like, "I have a feeling you're definitely a Gemini." And I'm like, "Nope, Virgo. I would have said that, but... You know, I was thinking it was this one aspect of your personality, but that was my second guess was Virgo.
So, see, that's where moon stars, that's where moon signs come in.
Yeah, that's another place they can right. Another place they can bullshit you. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I don't buy any of this stuff.
Maybe the way you said no, you don't buy it, Gareth, and you're cynical and you're very stubborn. You must be a Taurus.
That's what happens.
They'll make anything fit, really. That's the bottom line. But what you're saying is correct. I think we just kind of need to open up our minds and our energies to the possibilities that some of these things are true. Whether you believe it or not, that's fine for you. But for someone out there, Saturday was such a huge thing and it was a big deal.
Hey,
and they've made this huge shift in their lives.
Do you know what was a big deal was 420? Especially, and we haven't spoken about this, but at Leondale High School, 420 was a big, big deal. Do you know what happened there?
Oh, it was shaking. That's what happened there. It was shaking. Kids were being kids. High school students were living their best lives, so much so that they even recorded themselves.
That's what I don't understand.
All types of strands in the alphabet, you know, having a good time, standing in one corner of the school. Literally, it looked like a crowd. There were like 50 kids there, just like 420 bitches. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. Day one was cool. And then day two got a bit hot when like it started surfacing online, and then people were tagging like the Minister of Education and school principals and stuff. Oh, it was so messy. Oh my God.
You know, when I was at school, you were basically like a murderer if you had weed.
Yeah.
Like when I'm much older than you two, but when I was at school, if someone smoked weed, you were like, yes. They're gonna end up. They're gonna end up such a degenerate. They're gonna end up in prison. They are obviously involved with all the worst elements of society. Weed.
Truckers.
And I mean, I didn't really care. I mean, I had a friend who used to smoke secretly. I don't know if she smoked weed. I think she did, but she used to smoke secretly when no one, and she was bussed once or twice for doing that by one of those hall monitor types we were talking about earlier. But it never really bothered me. And I've said to you before, I don't love the smell of weed, but I don't care if people smoke weed. It's amazing how our attitudes have moved over time from criminals, the losers in society, the drug addicts, the worst people, the people who live under bridges. They're the only ones who smoke weed. That was just a little while ago, like 20.
Now the richest man on the planet smokes weed.
Now the richest dude man on the planet goes publicly and smokes weed on video. It's amazing. We have changed.
People forget that they were also in high school themselves. They also were children at some point. Like, I definitely, like, we smoked stuff. We experimented. The only difference is we didn't record ourselves, whether it's because we didn't have the smartphones or because, you know, we just were living in the moment.
Okay, but I got to say, that's pretty stupid. And if you wanted to set back any progress we've made, then you would record yourself at high school smoking weed, you dummies. What is wrong with these guys?
All 40
they were in uniform, Gareth. That's what property. I don't get.
On school property. Yo, dude, they were living their best lives. Needless to say, they did get suspended. I think the basic education minister even went to the school the very next day. It was such a big fuss. Yeah, a lot of finger pointing.
These
kids are smoking.
You drug addicts.
Yeah. What are the teachers doing?
You're never going to amount to anything if you smoke that weed. It's so bad for you.
Yeah, no, it was chaos. It was chaos. At no point were the parents blamed at all. It was solely the responsibility of the schools.
I love that.
To be making sure that these kids are not smoking weed.
What is going on?
Where are they getting this weed? Where are they getting the money for the weed? It was just nonsense.
When did parents get a free pass? When did this happen? Because I remember...
I've mentioned this before.
I remember...
Because when you send your kid to school... It's like you're done with that kid. Yeah. It's not mine. And
wash your hands
hours.
like Pontius Pilate. You're like, whatever happens, happens. I have no longer got any authority here. It's bullshit. When did parents get a free pass?
Exactly.
It's Ben who used to say, like, whenever someone murders someone, can we bring in the parents and like, can we talk to them? Mm. What did you teach this kid?
Right.
Yeah. Can we start holding parents accountable to?
But no, the parents are now, even the parents are standing.
Parents are too busy.
The parents are standing outside the gates of the school. They're like, I can't believe that these kids are smoking weed. They're all like indignant, but it's your kids, you sons of bitches.
Dude.
Like, why don't you clean up in your own house? Like, if you haven't realized your kids smoke weed and the only time you've ever heard it is when the school announces that they caught them on video doing it, you're not paying attention.
That's a red flag.
Like, as a parent,
you don't know
your
kid.
Mm. Are you even listening to your kid? Mm. When last did you have a conversation with them, moron?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Just people
put them
in front of the
dumb.
TV and, let money babysit.
So anyway.
Hey, Gareth, people.
So Leondale High School is now the worst school in the whole of South
Africa. I knew it. You see, Leondale, the kids from there. Yeah, I can't stand them. That's all that this did, really. And that's just the school that we know of. This is happening everywhere in literally most high schools, even your favorite private schools that you think are untouchable. It's happening more there than ever.
I still, the jury's still out on whether or not smoking weed is good for people at a certain age when there's still a little bit of brain development to happen. And I do wonder if we're going to have the research one day to show that drinking, smoking, taking certain drugs at a certain age is definitely not the best idea. And maybe it's a good idea if you're going to do that stuff to just wait until you're in your maybe, mid-20s. Because there is still a lot of brain development that is taking place. And
that needs to happen.
There's still a lot of moving parts, basically. You don't need an external chemical.
And I don't want to be one of those buzzkill people, because I actually don't care what people do. I don't care if you set your brain back a couple of degrees. That's your business, really. And for some people, maybe it's a good thing, because some people are so highly strung and they've got really tense and difficult and complicated lives.
Highly strung. Hi.
Yeah. And maybe this is their way of dealing with the world. So I'm not going to tell people what to do. I've always believed everyone should make their own decisions. But I do think there is an element of this that's like adults can make their own decisions. But if you're a kid at high school under the age of 18 and you're doing this, maybe you could spend your time doing something a little more productive, just saying.
Do you, boo-boo, but like within context, because like when you are that age and you're that young, these things have consequences. You know, it's not just you getting affected. You're going back to your mother's house, smelling like that with your uniform like that. Mm-hmm. What if you've got an addictive personality? You know what I mean? So
I do think that there's a better time and there's probably a better place for you to be doing weed than on camera at school when you're still a high school student.
Yeah, I always say that, like, because growing up, Gareth, I always see like my white friends at school like smoke cigarettes with their parents and like drink alcohol with their parents, and I was always like, ooh. I would just sit there and be like, these kids is crazy.
Get a clap.
But, like, now, you know what I mean? As I grow up, I'm like, maybe it's not such a bad idea to just like let my kids start in the household where I can see them, you know, make these decisions, sort of like guide them in inverted commas so that they don't pick the shit up in the streets. You know, I say that now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess when my kids get of age, I'll decide. But I mean, man.
So I'm a big advocate of that, Lebang. Teach your kids the skills you want them to have, because at least you can control that narrative. Instead of me learning from my friends, could be very dangerous.
Are you saying...
This is how you roll a blunt.
Yeah, exactly. When he said the skills, immediately I thought, like, how do you lick... What? And when the people put saliva on the paper, I think we got...
You lick
Yeah. You remember when Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma taught us all how to roll up a joint? That was her thing.
Yeah.
We're spreading COVID.
That's spreading
so COVID. Great.
But best lecture I got was from a drunk uncle carrying his, I think it was his fifth beer. He was like, don't drink. Look at me. Don't drink. You don't want to be like me. And then I'm like, yeah, you're right. Actually, I don't want to be like you.
That probably did more.
You're leading by example.
Yeah, that probably did more for you and getting you to understand how not to behave than anything else. Because you looked at him and you're like, what a fucking loser.
Wait, there, and like, there's something called a puza face. Once you like, you know, go into puza face realm, there's just no turning back.
Your face
reeks of alcohol. Even if you're sober, your face is exposing you for being the drunk person in the family.
A puza face is a very serious thing.
It is.
And
it is.
And some very famous people have become a bit puza-faced as time has gone by, right? I think you know who we're talking about here. Who do you think the most famous puza-face in South Africa is?
Oh, like all washed-up soccer players, for one. Like every second or third.
I don't know the most famous one, but I know the first one I saw was Mantu Shabalala. She looked like she was lit.
I've got one for you. Here's a good one. Batavi Letlani.
I knew it.
Batavi Letlani.
Gareth, she was on medication that made her drowsy.
Yeah, sure. Batavi Letlani. She's got to put. That's a puza face, right? I'm not wrong.
It really
She can't afford booze on what, 100 grand a month.
On 100 grand.
It's more than that. I think she's on 200 grand a month, as I recall. And I think she probably can, actually. I think she can afford a few. I think that's all she's buying with her take-home money. You know, after she's paid the expenses, then it's, this one is for puza.
What's really sad about a puza face is that there's no actual... If you look at this picture, you can't really say, no, it's the wrinkles above her forehead or it's the... Mm-mm. There's just a demeanor about you that you
That's
lose.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It literally just shines through and says, I drink too much. That's what I do. How you doing? Like, you can't pinpoint it. Like, it's wild.
Yeah,
it's
and
wild,
it actually has... It hasn't got very much to do with your age either. It's about how much you drink. A puza face. Yeah. I love that. It's like people who smoke too much weed, they also get those very bloodshot eyes. And then, like, they also have that... Yeah. That, like...
And it's permanently there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so... Now we have, and by the way, the male role model, the male mascot for puza faces is probably Gwede Mantashe.
Gwede or Blade?
Between the two.
I don't know. I think Gwede's, we could have a competition. Let me see. Gwede
Blade
Mantashe
is definitely up there. And why is it only like people in Palomé?
Gwede seems like he's that type who still drinks traditional beer. He's always seems like he's always wiping.
What, Mkombo?
Like the foam. Yeah, Mkombo. He's always like,
yes. All right, well, let's run a little poll. Let's run a poll this morning and see if Batabile is the female puza face.
So then, we all agree on Batabile.
Yeah. Then what... Then who is the who's Blade? Is Blade in Zimande or
is Gwede?
Gwede, the let's figure this out right now for once and for all, right? Let's see. I'm going to put up two pictures. If you're watching us on the YouTubes this morning, then you need to get involved. All right. So first of all, for those people who don't know who Batabile Dlamini is, let's just remind them. There's Batabile Dlamini. She is the female. She's the winner when it comes to the puza face on the female side. And here, our first candidate for the male puza face is Bledin Zimande. That's a nice picture of him, don't you think?
Yeah.
He's even looking like worried. He's also concerned, like, do I have a puza face? Am I the face of puza face for South Africa?
What do you think?
He's contemplating it.
You think he's a good candidate? Or... Perhaps because I still think that the Gwede might actually be the better one. It's half and half, but I would say maybe Gwede, who's currently, I think he's the Minister of Energy or something.
Gwede inching. Yeah. Gwede's inching forward. catching up. Yeah,
if you were watching this as a live action replay, I wonder who you'd put in the pole position, let's say. And by the way, you can vote right now if you'd like to send us your comments live on YouTube. Is it Blade or is it Gwede? What is your expert opinion here? Bagabantu, you go first. Which one do you think has the better puza face? Blade, who looks upset that we voted for him in this picture. He's squinting like he's looking into the light. Or is the Gwede? Which one is the best Puza Thursday ambassador?
Blade looks like he hates us for putting him on this. And again, Gwede looks like he's nervous. He's like, ish, I need to win this. I still vote for Blade. I vote Blade.
Well, I'm telling you, Gwede is getting way more votes. Gwede is getting huge numbers of Michelle says Gwede, Woody says Gwede, Gary says Gwede also needs to be the face of Camel Plane with his voice. Gail says Gwede, those teeth though. Sanele says Blade, there's one for Blade. Sharon says Gwede, Molly says Gwede, Moonchild says Gwede, Shani says Gwede, Kutle says Gwede.
Wow, Gwede is sweeping it.
Patrick says Blade. Dogozo says Gwede. Theron says Gwede.
It's a landslide.
Yonder says Blade. There's two Blades. The rest are all Gwedes, I'm afraid. Simpiwe says Blade. Lungelo says Gwede.
Yeah, this is a great shout from Robin. Gwede is the face of Baba Laz. But
that's exactly it, Robin.
He looks like he just woke up.
All the time he looks like that. So you know it's either he's just a walking, hanging individual or he's just had so many hangovers in his life that this is just the energy he oozes.
I think we spoke about this the other day, but I mentioned how
he oozes Puza face energy.
He's got massive.
We all have energies that we ooze. His chakras are aligned with Puza. I'm just saying.
You know, I mentioned this the other day
but
on the show.
But isn't Gwede, like, I think Gwede should take it because isn't Gwede tag team partners with Tabo there?
With Tabo. I love this. John Bad Dog says, it is Batapuza. Definitely not Batabile, Batapuza. All right, so we've got it. There are two winners, Batabile Dlamini and Gwede Mantashe. And if you could think of anyone who maybe, because it doesn't just have to be politicians, but the politicians,
who can challenge for the title.
They want to be our leaders, then we're going to judge them as our leaders. And someone has to lead the Puza movement. So in this case, we've chakras aligned, as Lebang said. So I remember saying this just a short while ago, but I can't do more than one big night a week of drinking with my friends anymore. And I think, you know, it's so funny. Like, some people can obviously handle their alcohol and other people can't. And I can handle it, but I don't want to do more than one night. And that's become my rule, and I'm sticking to it from here on in. I used to do, we invented Puza Thursdays here on this show.
Yeah. Right?
We invented them. Yeah. And someone reminded me the other day, you invented Puza Thursdays. And then I suddenly got a picture of Batabile Dlamini in my head, and I was like, we did a bad thing.
You are to blame, Gareth.
Yeah, we did a terrible thing.
You are to blame.
And I was like, oof.
You made it cool to drink on Thursdays.
And it used to be
Thursday.
Because
some people don't know when to stop.
It used to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday.
And you know,
then Sunday recovery.
And these people who party on a Sunday, I haven't mentioned them for a long time ago. Let's just take a minute to bask in the glory or the stupidity, if that's your opinion, of the people who party on a Sunday. Because there are a lot of them. And they go to everywhere. They go to pubs and bars and restaurants and shebeens. And they get around. And on Sundays, that's their big party day. Now, I do not understand that, because the feeling of being hungover on a Monday must be the worst feeling available to anyone.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Gareth, if you're in entertainment, of which you are, you know very well how demanding that lifestyle becomes of you. You get booked to MC an event on Thursday. On Friday, they book you to DJ. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, they pay you for an appearance. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, there's this, this, and that. So you have to always be sharp, always be ready for whatever the party will, you know, will offer you. But I think there's a trick to doing it. The trick is doing it and then knowing when to go home. The problem is people want to do it so much so that's like, if the party ends at 11, it's okay, where's the next venue? Where to now? Home. Hello.
Well, Sunday partying, according to David, is for the guys who didn't get laid earlier in the weekend. It's the last chance to come right. Is that what it is?
Yeah, to come.
Is that what it is?
Last chance to come.
David.
Dogozo says he partied this Sunday by mistake this last Sunday.
By mistake?
It wasn't a great idea.
How do you party by mistake? Like, oops, I'm at a party.
You fell into it. You're like, yo, I'm at the third beer. Tequila shots are coming.
Yo.
I didn't see this one coming.
By mistake.
By mistake.
Yeah, there's no such thing as by mistake. Dogozo, own it. Come. You are on your way to the Batabile Dlamini world of Puza Face. It's going to happen for you, Dogozo. All right. I just want to quickly go to something else because you mentioned, and you've got this huge tribe of children, Lebang. You've got, 14 of them at the moment. How many are there?
16. Just correct you.
No. She stopped counting after baby number five.
So you mentioned to me that you need to start preparing your sons for the birds and the bees conversations. And you thought this is maybe something that you know, some people on the show might have some advice for you on. There are a lot of parents who've already been through this. This is a very tricky thing for parents to address in the right way. If you don't do it right, you could give your kid a complex. It's going to be embarrassing and weird anyway. You have to be careful how you approach it. So how do you want to address this? How do you want to deal with this? Where do you want to take this conversation?
I guess the first thing is that I never got the birds and the bees conversation. So I was left to the world to figure it out. School, friends, whatever the case, which I don't know if that worked.
How that turned out. You got five children.
Look at me now.
If only someone had sat you down and explained this is how you get pregnant, we wouldn't have to worry. We wouldn't have to worry about a new house and all this stuff, right?
You know what I'm talking about? So I just kind of feel as though like there's a lot of different people that listen to the show. From all areas of life, all areas of the world. And I do feel as though I will get some really good advice, XP-wise. Like, when my parents told me, this is how they told me, should the dad handle it because it's sons? Should I handle it? Because I really want to be more intentional about my parenting and really be, like, that involved on that level where it's like, look, this is a penis. It's not a pee-pee. You know, this is a vagina. It's not a cookie. Like, do I take it to that level so that my kids are, you know, fully aware? And is there a right age? And really, I'm just asking the audience of the show because, like I said, it's like a range of people who, for the most part, are some good people. So I put it forth to you, my friends.
So basically, she's leveraging us for advice because she doesn't know. She's probably just doesn't have anyone else to turn to. I mean, it's not like, maybe we're not even...
Lebang, you missed Dr. Hanan yesterday.
Wrong show. Yes.
Wrong show.
Yeah, you were meant to be on with Hanan yesterday and you overslept.
I was.
Between Collector Mania and Dr. Hanan, you would have killed it yesterday. Collecting kids.
No. Yeah, so, all right.
Bakabantu, what do you think? Let's start with you because I know you've got so much experience in this field.
No, I was raised properly. My mom was a nurse, so she told me what menstruation was. Yeah, no. It was very scientific. She came back home. I was 12. She threw a packet of condoms at me and my friends. She's like, a girl walked in today. She was pregnant. So you guys are having sex at 12. So this is how it goes down.
Wow.
This is what sex is. This is a penis. This is this. When you start hitting puberty, you get wet dreams as a boy. Girls get menstruation. So by the time I hit like grade 8, I was like, oh, my mom once mentioned this. She told me what HIV was. She just went like full ham, like, but she was like on the nursing side. Like, this is the science behind it. And then she called my friends' parents. She's like, oh, this is what I told them. The parents were like, oh, thanks. We were wondering when we get to that chat. She's like, oh, you guys are making babies. You guys are old enough to hear this.
It's chaotic, dude, especially with the internet. Like, if you don't tell your kids, they'll find it somewhere else. Yeah. And I just don't want it to be the wrong thing, you know?
See,
I didn't have a dad. Mom was just like, bah, bah, bah.
So
and then when it happens, you're like, huh.
Hanging out with Jay has a different point of view, and I'm not going to climb in and immediately criticize him, but I think you've raised something, Bakabantu, that maybe parents don't want to deal with, is that kids are having these conversations and maybe even partaking in this stuff at a very early age. So hanging out with Jay says, keep their innocence for a little bit longer. Lebang, chill a little. I don't know, hey? You know, there's. It's up to each parent to decide when that age is. But you don't want them doing something before just because you were... you're reluctant to bring it up earlier.
Mm.
And then they end up making a mistake. Yeah,
exactly. I hanging with Jay, I get that. I want them to continue being kids, but I need to also be aware of the environment and the world that we live in. Like a couple of weeks ago, a video was released of a 10-year-old girl having sex with her classmates.
Oh my God.
And oh my God. Like as a parent, if I'm sitting there and I get a message saying, hey, isn't this your kid? Dude, that's a 10-year-old child, 10. So it's harder and harder and scarier and scarier. So I just need to be aware of that. And I'd rather just like have my kids come ask me questions like, yo, mom, somebody did this, da, 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 like rather than them getting the answers anyway. But I know that I have to have the conversation. I'm just, I won't lie, guys, I'm a bit scared, man. I don't know.
Like, don't do it cute, though. Don't do that like, like, guys, this is how birds and the bees and a mommy bear and a papa bear. No.
Yeah.
Sex is sex.
Yeah.
Vaginas, penises. Yeah, let's keep it, I don't know, like, yeah, keep it scientific. Keep it proper so that they can come to you without feeling, oh, am I using the right word? No, just keep it anatomical. Like, this is what happens when a boy, you start developing feelings. This is puberty, this and this and that. Yeah.
I think it makes
sense. But it must be before puberty. I think, I don't know the age, but it must be before puberty, before it happens. Because once it starts happening, they'll be ashamed. They'll be asking for questions in dark corners. They'll be asking friends. Hey, there's some scary stuff that came out of school. And like, yo.
Yeah, I love those. Stuff we heard. The urban legends and the bullshit stories that come out of school. That stuff, you don't want your kids taking that as gospel. So, I mean, Woody says, whether it's the mom or the dad, that shouldn't matter. Just speak frankly to your kids. And MM says, being the mother of a teenager, there is no sitting them down and having the talk. It is a continuous conversation. It's another good point.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, I hope that helps. Kutla says, my parents told me to wear a condom. That's it. Everything else was from school. Not good. Not good. Yeah.
Yeah, no. That sounds dangerous.
Cook Ooh says, I've got two teens now. I didn't want my kids to hear weird things about sex from their friends or the internet, so I bought a book to help guide them, or guide me, rather, and told my kids when they were about 9 in a light way. Okay. Yeah. And as they got older,
I think like
as they
nine, got older, Cook nine, says, a...
yeah, we as they got older, we'd have the deeper conversations. Yeah. Mash Mashinini says, my sister is a grade 2 teacher, and the things these kids talk about at 8 years old at school, there's very little innocence to be protected if that's what you're worried about. Have the talk sooner and have it at home. Yeah. Yeah. This is happening. That's scary. And don't shock them or scare them away, says Woody. Yeah. That's really important, too.
Okay.
Like the takeaway must be a continuous conversation, like someone said, and you can always come back to me if you're unsure.
Mm. Yes.
But
the idea is to create a safe space.
Yeah. Keep the door open.
You know, yes. Not like I can't talk to my mom about this. It needs to be like, I know who to go to.
Yeah.
So I'll work on that. No, thanks guys.
All right, you opened this door, huh? Now you've got all the advice you could possibly want. In fact, I'm hoping you're screenshotting all of these comments because there's a lot of useful stuff in there.
Yeah, it's going to my bookmarks.
Some very, very useful stuff. All right, it is just after 7:30, and we're going to welcome to the show someone who we've had on before, Dr. Reza Mia, and we've spoken to Dr. Reza about his career as a medical doctor. And he's in aesthetic medicine. He's also an avid aeronautics scholar, for those who don't remember the last time we spoke to him. He's made it his mission to innovate the aerospace and transportation sector, both locally and globally. I mean, he's an overachiever. That's the whole, I can say this. The guy, he's a tremendous human being, but he's also massive overachiever, makes the rest of us look like we're lazy and we're sitting on our backsides doing nothing. So we've got to have him back on. It was a boyhood passion of his to design and own a business jet of his own design, the Pegasus Vertical Business Jet, all right? And it's a brainchild that he worked on, and it takes to the skies in the Hollywood blockbuster movie called The Lost City, which is currently showing at cinemas around South Africa. This vertical business jet is featured prominently during several scenes and credited during the rollout sequence too. The Lost City is a breathless, action-packed jungle adventure along the lines of Indiana Jones or Jumanji, and it features a star-studded and an amazing cast of people like Sandra Bullock, Brad Pitt, Tatum Channing, Daniel Radcliffe. And you couldn't wish for a better entree to the world than to have it on a multi-million dollar blockbuster movie like this. What a pleasure to have Dr. Reza Mia on. Hey, Dr. Reza, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good, nice to see you, man. Just adjust your camera.
Give me one second.
We're just seeing the bottom of your head there, not the rest of you. There we go. Let's see, there we go.
You're good.
That's
much
good. How are you?
Listening to what you were saying about me, you'd think I'd know how to work.
Exactly.
iPad.
I mean, it's very disappointing. when we finally switch on your camera, it's like, oh God, this guy doesn't even know how to use his phone. So listen, the last time we had you on, lots of people were blown away by the fact that there's this guy who's already got a successful aesthetic medicine practice. You know, being a doctor is not easy. You can't be stupid and be a doctor. Although I've met doctors who will say that you can be. I don't believe that. I'd like to think that doctors aren't dumb. It frightens the hell out of me to imagine that a doctor could get anything wrong. But you've also got this incredible interest in this really bizarre thing, which is designing and marketing and growing your own aeronautics business. And you've got this vertical business jet. And now, how did Hollywood hear about this? Because they put it in a movie.
So thanks again for having me.
Sure.
And excuse these scratches. I have a new kitten. It's somewhere around here.
Yeah, but, sure. We'll just assume it's the kitten. Don't worry, Doc. It's fine.
Well, he might show up here on the screen. You know, they like to jump on the table.
All right.
But somebody from Paramount Pictures just got in touch with us and said, we need a plane for our movie. There's a scene where the heroine gets abducted and taken away, but it's a comedy, so it's not dark. Mm-hmm. So it's not a dark kidnapping, but it's exciting. It'll be part of the story. And at first I just thought someone was trying to scam us for money, but we did our own research and found out that they were actually from Paramount Pictures. And then we engaged and we thought, well, let's see how this ends. This is probably going to be very expensive. I know product placement fees in movies are around $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
But they said to us, well, no, because it's part of the story, it adds to the story, then they won't charge a product placement fee. So
Wow. That
for us was a very big win and a very big compliment, because they could have chosen any movie, any plane in the world to
sure.
put into their movie. And they said to us, we like yours because it's cutting edge and it's not sci-fi. It's something that will be flying in the sky. So that's what... made us really excited to be involved. And I actually saw the movie last week.
Uh-huh.
And really, the plane makes a very big impression when you see it on the big screen. And they've done it very accurately, the way that the pieces move around and the plane transitions and flies around.
Did you stand up and start clapping when you saw your creation?
That's my plane!
Yeah, this is your baby. That's so cool.
Fortunately, everybody was involved with the company. So we had our own theater and it got very noisy. You know, everybody was screaming and
everybody
shouting.
Cheering for the plane.
It was exciting. I'll probably go and watch it again just so I can watch it this time. I'll be quiet and just enjoy the show.
Right.
Like, Doc, I have to ask, because I've seen a lot of these things pop up where it's like, oh, they want to use something that I own for my movie. Did they have to like rebuild it and make like a replica of it? Did they I'm just curious as to how real the use of the plane really was in the movie. And I'm going to go watch it as well, just to double.
No, you must. It's a good movie. You know, everyone will enjoy it anyway. It's a nice, funny comedy. You'll always, it's a movie you'd watch anyway. But They used CGI for their external components, but it was a very accurate CGI. You know, they used our CAD models. They consulted with our engineers as to how the different elements move and work together, like those fan louvers at the bottom. Mm. But this, what you're looking at right now, is actually a model that they built. So this was a physical cabin. So all the interior scenes where they sit inside and they talk and they, you know, fall around, that's inside that model that you're seeing there. I was saying at a presentation I did, that lady is small. The plane isn't that big. You can see the guy on the ground. Mm. He is more normal sized.
Right.
And relative to that drill next to him, you can see it is a fairly accurate size of a plane. So that was a physical mock-up that they built. They didn't, as far as I know, they haven't destroyed that. And I think they do keep them as part of the studio property, which... hopes, you know, I hope that means it'll be in other movies.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Do they not? I mean, you say you would normally have to pay for product placement, but in this case, they said, can we use it? And you thought, well, okay, sure, of course you can. But now, if they use it in other movies, they've surely got to pay you for those.
No, I think it just depends on how it features, what happens in the movie, that type of thing. For me, it's very good marketing. It's global presence. It's got a value to it. So if it was just, you know, trade exchange, let's use the plane, I would be open to that. I mean, it's a good way to get people to see it.
So, Doc, I mean, how far are we from seeing this in the sky over Johannesburg? I mean, the last time we spoke to you, I don't want to sound like an impatient idiot here, but I know last time we spoke, you said, well, there's quite a lot of research and development that's still going ahead. It's an expensive business, this. You know, aviation is not cheap. It's something that costs a huge amount of money. It requires a large team of very, very clever people to make sure everything is in order. You then have to go through a number of hoops to get it licensed, to be able to fly, to have the Civil Aviation Authority say okay. And then you've got to do all the tests before you can put passengers on board. So how far down the road are we?
So we're still at the scale models. The quarter scale models that we had started building when we last spoke are now almost finished. We're sending them to the UK for the control system and automation refinement and development with a company, Callan Lens, there that we're working with. And those will do the full job as well. They'll do a vertical takeoff, transition, and forward flight, and then back again. It's important that we get all of that right before we put it into bigger models. But we are already building a full-scale unmanned model. And again, just funding dependent, we will move on then to the more detailed design and then build a manned full-scale model. And from there, we'll start doing the flight testing and certification. So I guess 3 to 5 years, I would say, before you can see a manned version flying.
Oof.
But you know, the time will pass anyway. It's just
it's not like you're sitting around doing nothing in the meantime. I mean, you're busy doctoring up a storm and all the rest of it. But it must be driving you crazy, because you want to get into it. You want to actually feel it. And here in this movie, they've created this mock-up, this scale version, which you haven't even been able to build, a scale of that size where you can actually sit in it. And I'm sure that once the day that happens, you'll feel such a sense of accomplishment, not to mention the thrill out of actually getting into a vehicle that you've been a huge part of designing. It's very, very exciting. Mm.
Yeah. You know, you have a good idea. Maybe I should just make a trip and go sit inside that one. Take a few pictures.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know what? They've built the damn thing, and you should say to them, listen, I just want to come and sit in something that's my baby. Just give me 5 minutes in the thing alone, and let me just sit there and take a few pictures. I think you must do it.
Yeah. And when security tries to stop you, you must tell them, do you know who I am? I built this thing.
Exactly. Now, that's a good idea.
Show them my license. Yeah.
Well, Reza, it's always nice to see you. Please keep forging forward and getting Hollywood, if not everybody else, to look at South Africa and take us seriously. We obviously are a country that's at the forefront of a few things, not as many as we'd like to be, but we do have, you know, we have people like you designing these jets. We have people like Elon Musk buying the whole of Twitter. We're gonna own all of these successes, and we're going to be very, very proud to have even more of them in the future. It's great to see something in this arena, and it's being taken up by Hollywood, and soon it'll be a reality here as well. It's awesome stuff. Well done.
Very, very good. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, please do. Awesome. Thanks, Doc. Nice to see you.
You too. Have a good day.
Cheers,
bye-bye. Man.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Dr. Reza Mia.
What are you guys doing with your lives, eh? Are you guys
So besides feeling inadequate right now,
what did you do with
I'm
your day?
Sitting.
We did judge a puzza face competition.
Well,
yeah, that was the highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, but between this plane and the BMW ad last week, I think we are full on into the future, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is futuristic stuff. Yeah, this is futuristic stuff. This is futuristic technology today.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't take millions and millions of people to all be doing incredible things at the same time. It just takes one or two who've got the means and who've got the passion and the inspiration to do something. And then suddenly, before you know it, something's going and actually, literally, in the case of this, taking off. And he says it's 3 to 4 years. I mean, I would fly in this thing. I know there are lots of people who'd be nervous, but I would love to try some cutting edge aeronautical technology. The cool thing about this thing is because it's going to be a vertical business jet, it will be able to take off like this. So you will be able to land like a helicopter, not like a plane. How cool is that?
Very cool. I definitely would have made them pay me. I won't lie to you. I would have been like, okay, cool. Where do I send my invoice?
No, you would have had...
No, that's my creativity right there.
You didn't hear what he said, though. He would have had to pay them, usually, for product placement.
Yes, for product placement. But okay, this is a jet. I mean, how many people watching The Lost City are in the market for a jet is my first thing. So that's what I'm saying, like, you know.
You never know.
But it's cool. I get it.
You never know, Lebang. You never know.
True. True. I want Elon Musk just buying Twitter for $43 billion. Yeah, people really have money out there.
Pocket change.
This guy is operating on people and building jets in his spare time.
So,
bro, and just getting scratched by kittens in his free time. It is what it
kittens.
Is.
Kittens. I think her name is Kitty.
Listen, he's in aesthetic medicine. He can fix that easily. He knows how to fix those things. All right. One quick thing before we go. This morning, we think it's stupid for us to be judging puzza face competitions while other people are designing jets and buying Twitter. But there is a guy in Iceland who's opened up a penis museum. He's got the largest penis collection in the world, and he's opened up this museum, the penis museum. Actually, Bakabantu of all people knows the most about this.
Well, if you make it sound like that, I don't want to know about this, but this popped up on
Come on, tell us how you found out about the penis museum.
What is the what does my Google algo look like?
Google history.
tell us.
But this guy, it popped up in the Guardian. Mm. The Guardian has some cracker articles lately. But so this pops up. This guy says he's interesting because he has the largest penis. He calls it the phallic. The Phallic Museum of Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, this guy started collecting penises, and he tells his entire story in the article about how he was just chilling with his friends, and a friend of his came back from the farm, and they were reminiscing about having whips that used to be made from bull penises. So the friend came back with 4 penises. He gave 3 of them to other friends. I'm like, as a Christmas gift, I'm like, I don't know how I feel that day if I open up and my friend gave me a penis. But anyway,
surprise.
So now... He has a whale penis, Lebang. It's like 6 foot long. And then the smallest one he has. Yes.
Is he ?
What are you asking?
No, he says it's just an
is he white?
He's from Iceland.
What do you think in Iceland? He's a big black man in Iceland. What do you think?
I was just asking the obvious. You know, you just have to confirm. That is an interesting hobby to get into. Oh my gosh.
He says the smallest penis he has is from this European mouse. It's like, I think it's millimeters. And then you have to look through, you have to see it through a microscope. That's how small it is. He has a platypus one that's like twisty. He has this man, but his son took over the business because it runs in the family, I guess.
It's now a business collecting penises.
It's a family business.
A family business.
We do have Collectomania here every Monday. It's only a matter of time before we end up with a penis collection on Collectomania. Maybe we must get hold of this guy.
He has one should. Special one, Lebang. It's from a human donor, 91-year-old man who died and wrote in his will he wants his penis to go up in this museum. but he himself says it's not the greatest example. So he has two people lined up with that are well endowed that will donate.
Here's the guy, by the way. This is the dude who runs the penis museum. That's him.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks like he runs a penis museum, right?
His name is
all the signs are there.
Sigurdur Hjartarson. Sigurdur Hjartarson. And he is the owner of the Phallological Museum in Reykjavik. In Iceland. It's very good.
He closes the article. His quote is like, some people collect stamps, some people collect cards. I collect penises. I collect phallus. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad people accept it now. Ooh. They come to the museum and they no longer think I'm a pervert.
Well, some people still do. Annemie says, I saw their ads in Reykjavik when I visited Iceland. The place really does
exist. That's where it is.
Awe wants to know, I'm late, what did I miss? Well, you're going to have to listen to the podcast. We can't.
Hey, sorry.
We
missed a lot.
We can't missed go there.
There's a guy collecting penises here.
He sounds like one of those characters from like an episode of Family Guy or South Park. Like they feed off of this kind of content. Like there's a guy that collects dicks. Write that guy in. write him into the show.
I don't like to make too much of this, but just look at this man. He doesn't look very... He does not look happy. I mean, maybe they caught him on a bad day, but he knew this was the picture that was going to go in the newspaper article, and he didn't even smile. He looks very unhappy. He doesn't look like he's proud of his penis museum. He doesn't look like he's thrilled to be there. He's a little depressed, if you ask me.
I wonder what like inspired him. What was the trigger that was like, you know what, these things, the length, the size, I want to collect this. And then he just started exploring and seeing different types, and he just got fascinated and thought, let me just open a museum, let people come and indulge. Like, what was the trigger that was like, this is how I'm going to go down in history as the penis man?
He goes on about how he stores them and like preserves them. There's dried penises. There's ones in formaldehyde, which makes sense. Yeah, like to preserve the tissue. Mm-hmm. And then there's ones that are mounted. So it's just like his picture above your fireplace, Gareth. You said something was primal about that fire. Something is primal about.
Oh man. Well, I mean,
imagine you've got visitors at your house and like you're all sitting there like in front of the fire and someone goes, wow, you know, Gareth, that thing on your wall just looks so good. What exactly is that? And you go, hey, I took a trip to Iceland this one time.
It's a huge bull penis. I thought I'd just put it on the wall to intimidate all my guests. So he says this, you might call me a bit of an eccentric. At first, people thought there was something wrong with me, but over time, they saw I was a serious collector who was precise and accurate with the information I kept, and that there was nothing pornographic about the collection. I'm happy people don't think I'm a pervert anymore.
It's not anymore that kills me. It's like anymore.
Shame. That's amazing. Well, you know what? Again, we always talk on Collectomania about the crazy people who have collections. Here's an example of a dude who's collecting penises. You've got your coins or your books or your plastic apes, which one guy in Collectomania collected. Why can't he have a penis collection? And you know your collection is good when you can open a museum and people from all over the world will come to visit.
Flock in.
There we go.
He's not bothering anyone except the 300
samples.
There he is.
Can we go back to the Puza face conversation? No, like,
this guy doesn't look okay. He doesn't look okay. That is not a happy looking face.
Is that a Puza face?
I don't know. I don't want to say
it's giving me Puza face energy. It definitely is. It's giving me Puza face energy, but like he's making up for something else by collecting all these sticks.
He has 6 o'clock shadow. He's like, just like, he's unhappy. Why is he so unhappy about his collection? Unhappy.
Well, and why is he leaving the balls out of the dick collection? The balls are a big part.
No. Someone has that. That's a different.
Some of them have balls.
That's a different collection. Yeah. You know, you see, this is your problem, Lebang. Okay. You are not a collector, because if you were a collector, you would know where to draw the line. You have to draw the line.
And the line is at.
Because then you go penis, then you go balls. The next thing you know, you're collecting the legs, then you're collecting the bladder.
Next thing you collect two cubits.
I don't want that. One thing. No, please. Let's take this seriously.
I hear you guys.
All right, everybody. Sanele says, by the way, that is the Caucasian Puza face mascot. Okay, there we go.
Agreed.
So we've got now some white and black Puza face.
All the way from Iceland.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Hope you have an excellent day. Be good. Tomorrow is obviously a public holiday. We won't be doing the show live tomorrow. But we will be back on Thursday morning, bright and early, with lots of good stuff for you. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. And Yaku and Catalytic are coming up next with Unbundled. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. Have a great day. Cheers.
Bye.
CliffCentral.com.